KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
With our country in such political chaos, might you be asking, can we learn good lessons from bad leaders? Well, my guest today wrote a book about a bad leader. He's Dr. Arthur Self, and he is a business strategist. For nearly 40 years, he's experienced the blending of a leadership career in higher education with business theory organizational practice. And he holds a PhD from Michigan State and a BA from Olivet Nazarene. And he served as president of Malone University in Canton, Ohio, Seattle Pacific University, and also the dean of school at business at Northwest University. So I think he might know what he's talking about. And he wrote the book, Good Success, Learning Good Lessons from Bad Leaders. Welcome him today on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick, Dr. Self. Thank you for joining me.
Judy, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to this opportunity to hear from you and receive some of your questions and have an opportunity to talk about good success.
What a timely book. And you wrote a book about bad leaders rather than good leaders. Why did you do that?
Well, it's this way, Judy. Most everyone will have experienced a bad leader in their life. Research says that 75% of the people who leave their jobs, not necessarily because they don't like the job, but they do dislike the person they immediately report to. So what we have here is we have many of the books about good leaders that you've probably read and your listeners have read across the years. I mean, there are tons of these, and they're very, very good.
Uh-huh, right.
But they basically say, this is what the good folks do, now go do what they do. I turned it the other way around because I like to look at the world differently. And my Christian worldview allows me to do that. So what I did is I said, this is what the bad leaders do. There are 52 predominant behaviors and 429 sub-behaviors.
Whoa,
what the bad folks
that's a lot.
Don't do what they do. Don't emulate their behavior. So it's another way of coming at a sensitive topic. Now, most people have had a bad, difficult leader. And mm-hmm. The problem with having a bad leader is that there's no way to really glean from or draw from those bad experiences.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I created this book to say, regardless of what's taken place in your life as a result of a bad leader, there are ways and mechanisms that I'll show you in this book as to how to extract value.
Okay, now, Dr. Self, what defines a good leader or a bad leader?
Well, if you put a list of things together, these are the behaviors, the attitudes, and actions of a bad leader in comparison to a good leader. I mean, the list can be quite long.
Uh-huh.
And let me give you my worldview here, and then from that, we can address the question that you specifically asked. My worldview is this. My worldview is that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. My worldview is that Jesus will do exactly what he says he will do. Thirdly, I believe that God the Father can be trusted, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us. And with that worldview, then we can begin to differentiate between the good things that God brings our way and the bad things that other people bring our way and say those are polarities. Now, most of us live somewhere between. The title of the book, Good Success, comes from Joshua, 1st chapter 9th verse, when the word says,
yes.
It came to Joshua and said, if you do what I tell you to do and follow the book of the law, you will be prosperous and you will have good success. Now, there's a difference between success and good success. And the rest of that chapter talks about good courage and good hope and good courage. And what we have now is this notion of saying, okay, this is contemporizing this issue of good success or bad success. I'm sure you guys play football back there somewhere in St. Louis, high school,
right.
College football.
Yep,
well,
our son did.
Coaches say, you know, we won the game, that was success, but we lost our quarterback and our two best defensive players. Or a politician could say, listen, we ran a good election, we ran a good campaign, but we lost the election. There's a difference between good success and success, and the Word of God always talks about good success, things that are beyond what we would consider. Now, the other passage that really is pertinent to this in making a separation between what good leaders do and bad leaders do is found. And the book is written from a Christian worldview. It's written to people who have been or are likely to struggle with working for a bad leader. But there's a biblical passage that really separates the good from the bad. And we find that in Isaiah 61. This is the Messiah announces everlasting joy. That's the heading for that particular chapter. But in that chapter, it talks about what I think is the difference between good leaders and bad leaders, because later on, down the chapter, it talks about to give them beauty for ashes. This is the calling of Christ and the calling for every Christian and the calling of every good leader, and it is to give people beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And what we have today is we have many leaders who give us ashes. They give us mourning, and they give us a spirit of heaviness, when in fact it ought to be the other way around. So the good leader brings the oil of joy, beauty for ashes, and a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness.
With those things, a room for growth is kind of what comes for those people he's leading, because those are joy-giving things. Those are fruit-producing things rather than mourning and ashes.
That's right. Well, we've had enough ashes in our lives in 2020. You know, we want some joy somewhere along the line, and I think God will give it. But I see a real opportunity here, because I don't want to go back to the old normal. And I hear people talking about the new normal in our country, in our world, in our churches, in our lives. I don't want a new normal. I want a better normal.
A better normal. So what do you constitute as a better normal?
Well, a better normal is society, it's a culture, it's a church, it's an area in which God influences in every direction that's far better than we've ever seen before. Now, I'm hopeful, but I'm not a pure optimist. I'm realistic about the challenges that we face. But without good leaders, and if we only have bad leaders and poor leaders, we're not going to get anywhere. So we look to the Spirit of God. We look to the people of God. We look to leaders within the church and people who are writing books and living the life they should be living. We look to those people rather than the people who give us the ashes and the unpraiseworthy things in our lives. Now, certainly, we live in a complex world. And one of the issues that we deal with in the characteristics between a good leader and a bad leader, what I've talked about here, the good leader basically says, what are you doing at your work? But they extend that argument to say, what are you actually achieving? What are you actually accomplishing?
Yeah, what's the bottom line?
Right. What's being achieved? Secondly, what do you need to know? And the good leader that distinguishes themselves from a bad leader is one that basically says, there are certain things I need to know to protect me and to protect you as well. And thirdly, what do you need to hear from me? Now, each one of those, what are you achieving? What do I need to know? What do you need to hear from me? Those are all really, really good principles, and that's what the good leaders do. Most bad leaders don't do that because they come first. They come first, other people come second. And in the long run, that really is not the most productive way to go. So what I've done in the book, I've outlined three primary, very large sections, one having to do with a bad leader's inability to do certain things, a bad leader's willingness to do certain things, and a bad leader's refusal to do certain things. Let me give you an example. When I grew up in Michigan, I was a preacher's kid, grew up in Michigan, and my mom had what she called a pressure cooker. Did you have one of those?
Yes, my mom had one of those too.
Well, those things scared me to death.
I know.
She's cooking potatoes or she's doing carrots or whatever. That's
yeah.
Right. That weight was on top of that pressurized
yep.
pan. And on the top of that pressurized pan was that weight, and there was a little valve, remember?
Yeah, and the steam came out and made that sound, and you just terrified me too.
Those things,
like, I don't want to touch that.
But that's the way some bad leaders behave. They just heat it up and they put the pressure on and they continue to badger people. So people inside that cooker just get more stressed and hotter under the collar. But a good leader basically says, I recognize that. I'm not going to create it, but I'm going to take the pressure off. Now, years ago when I was in the presidency, I stepped into an office one day, and there was an office. These people were on each other's case. you know, it's supposed to be a good Christian environment, and the attitude and the actions that day were not all that Christian. I said, there's a problem here. I said, what's going on with you people? And they just complained about one another. The pressure was enormous. So I basically said, we're going to quit this job for 1 hour. Put a sign on the door. We shut the lights off. We left the office, and we said, we are going to come back in 1 hour, and we just happened to have two Mustang convertibles, and all of us got in those Mustang convertibles, and we went and we had ice cream. Now, do you folks eat ice cream back there in St. Louis?
Oh, yes, we love ice cream, except when it's sub-zero degree weather.
Understood. Well, I'm from Arizona, and we have lots of hot weather, so we consume a lot of ice cream to cool us down. But I took those employees, and we went, and we had a great time for an hour. And I took the pressure off.
So
came back
important.
To the office, reopened the office, and the Spirit of God, I believe, basically said, you know how many people are under pressure at work these days? Everybody has some level of pressure. Now, if you're working from home, you don't have the pressure of the commute in many circumstances. But when you're working online from home, there's a different set of pressures. And even online and remote working or remote schooling, particularly with school-age kids, a good mom or a good dad will say, listen, I know you've been at that computer all day. Shut that thing down. We're going to go outside and play ball, or we're going to go get ice cream. That good parent, like a good leader, will say, we're going to take the pressure off somehow today.
And it takes it off the parent and the kid, because they're both needing to relieve that steam valve that's pressurizing what they're doing.
Well, I go ahead and talk about the leader's inability to tell the whole truth. There's an inability to maintain a spirit of fair exchange. Many bad leaders, they manifest an inability to, they don't take courage. They don't springboard from the problems that they confront. They don't know how to deploy ice cream, as I just mentioned.
But hey, you know, Dr. Self, we've gone through a lot of stuff in this segment. Would you join me for another segment talking about success, learning good lessons from bad leaders? Because some of our business community, probably 90% of them, are saying, wow, this is interesting. I've never thought of these things in this way. Would you join me after the break?
Judy, I'd be happy to come back and speak with your audience some more.
Awesome. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Arthur Self is joining me today. We're talking about the difference between a bad leader and a good leader. Stay tuned. We'll be back. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. I'm Judy Redlich. We are back on Encounter. My guest today is Dr. Arthur Self. He wrote the book Good Success: Learning God's Good Lessons from Bad Leaders. Is that really possible? And how many bad leaders have you lived under and worked under, and it's changed your whole life scheme because of the bad leadership you've had? Well, Dr. Self is giving you some insights. And if you're a business leader and a business owner, maybe some of these tips you're learning today will help you as you continue and try to be the best leader that you can be. Now, Dr. Self, you mentioned 52 leadership failures that create chaos in a business. What are some of those failures, those things that create chaos?
Well, I tell you what, chaos is the opposite of cosmos. Cosmos basically says a universe that is absolutely orderly. And what we have now, that appears to be a cosmos, at least a culture, that is just the opposite of that. And we have chaos, and that's total disorder. And what we have here is this underlying notion of fretting. And the Word of God talks about fret not, fret not, fret not, fret not. Don't fret the evildoer. Don't fret. Don't worry about this, because God is in control. But we have to find a way to deal with the pressures, the issues that bad leaders bring our way. Because what happens many times, people ruminate on this. They dwell on this. They rehearse this over and over. If you've been fired by a bad leader, and you may wonder, Lord, I thought I had a good job here. I thought I was doing a good job.
Yep.
What's up with that? I don't quite understand that. But what we have here is this notion of saying, there's no failure or no experience or no anxiety or no roadblock placed in my way by a bad leader that I can't learn a good lesson from. And that's the good lessons affirmation. And that helps us overcome and put in perspective and helps us not to ruminate or worry or fret over that bad leader's behavior. Now, the point is that we can't always take ourselves out of the chaos that bad leaders create, but we can take the chaos out of us. And that's what this book does. It's a means of saying, how do I take the chaos created by this bad leader out of me, although I may have to stay in the same job for a while? Now, what we find in bad leadership is really bad leaders have a tendency to tolerate inconsistency. And in the many years that I've worked with young people in churches and university settings, the thing that bugs them the most is inconsistency between what people say and people do.
And people do, yeah.
And that is one of the giveaways to a bad leader, is they are inconsistent. And what they tell you to do, they won't do themselves. Now, we see that in some of the governors that are taking behaviors of some of the governors.
And some of the politicians that are in office all over the nation.
Oh, my. It's strategy. And what happens then is people look at that and say, I don't want to be like that. I want to be consistent in my walk, in my conversation, in everything I do and say. I want it to be under the power of the Holy Spirit, and I want to walk in such a way that I am not considered a bad leader because of my inconsistency. Now, bad leaders do what I call enable covetousness. Now, I'm a preacher's kid, and I work for Christian universities, but I never really understood deeply what the 10th commandment is all about, where it says, thou shalt not covet. And one of the behaviors of a bad leader that I discuss in depth is this notion of saying a bad leader will covet the resources of other people. And you don't want to do that to be a good leader. You can't covet. You can't try to reach out and take that which is budgeted, is given to other people to run their operations, whether it's personnel, capital, equipment, information, and time. And many bad leaders will covet your time. They'll take your time away. And you have to figure out a way to compensate for that. Bad leaders have a willingness to impoverish. They have a willingness to bail out and abandon their people. They have a willingness to provoke other people purposefully. They have a tendency and a willingness to strike back. They have a tendency to use conflicting messages. There's a whole list there, a list of 52 of these things
that
people don't want to do in order to be an extraordinary leader.
So if you are under a bad leader's leadership, if you're under a boss that's a bad leader, and you see some of these things, how do you get through it, Dr. Self?
Well, number one, patience. Number two, you don't fret, but you place yourself in what I call the grace grid. Now, when you and I discuss grace, we often talk about gracefulness, about goodness or the grace of God, or grace as it refers to our prayer before we have a meal. But I've created what is called the grace grid, and the G in grace is goodness. The R in grace is responsiveness. The A in grace is aptitude. The C in grace is charter. And the E in grace is energy. And you could plot yourself and every person and every leader along this grace grid. And what happens, the bad leader trends towards deficiency. And what I mean by that, in their goodness, their responsiveness, in their aptitude, in their charter, and in their energy, they tend to deficiency. And they manifest certain things like they're wasteful. They believe in scarcity. They're insensitive or unaware of the importance of little things. They're foolish. They're unfocused. They take inappropriate or they take no risk, and they're emotionally shallow. Now, that's at one end of this grace grid. Now, that's the deficiencies. On the other end, you have people who are terrific leaders, who want to be terrific leaders. They want to be extraordinary leaders, and they trend towards grace sufficiency. And these are the things that fall into that category. They are frugal. They have an abundance mentality. They're very sensitive, and they're very aware of the importance of little things. They're wise, they're focused, they take appropriate and right risk, and they're emotionally deep. So in the book, I talk about this grace grid to say some leaders trend towards deficiency, and some leaders trend towards sufficiency or proficiency. And that's the way you can plot yourself in your own behaviors, or the behaviors of the bad boss or the good boss you're working for. That's called the grace grid.
Wow. If people would like to get a copy of your book, how do they get there?
Well, it's available through most major bookstores, independent bookstores, Barnes & Noble online, and in their stores, certainly through Amazon.com. The book really is about 300 pages. It takes an average reader about 7.5 hours to go through, and it's available in those major outlets. There are other retailers that are not booksellers that also carry the book. The publisher is Morgan James Publishing. And that book, although its genesis comes out of, as I spoke, out of the genesis of Joshua saying good success. But, you know, Judy, I had graduate students come back and say, Doc Self, you know, you did a good job of teaching us about this and this theory and this writer and this idea, this concept, but you never really did tell us too well about the bad leaders we're going to work for. And as I've said before, most everybody's going to work for a bad leader in their life. So You can get the book at those sources. It's an easy read. It's a deep, thoughtful kind of read, but it has great value. And this time of year, if someone who you know is going through a difficult time at work because of a bad boss, and they don't want to be a bad boss, buy the book for Christmas. It'll be a great gift. It'll run around $20 somewhere.
And that book, again, is called Good Success, Learning Good Lessons from Bad Leaders. One key thing that I've noticed is that if a leader cannot offer praise, they are more into themselves than wanting to bring out the good in others.
Well, that's true. And it's appropriate praise. It's praise for the right reason, at the right time, under the right circumstances. And what you find with a lot of bad leaders is they praise the wrong people at the wrong times and for the wrong reasons. So the people ought to get praised don't, and the people hadn't ought to get praised get praised. And praise is a function of intentionality and acknowledgement. And what a good leader does is they're on top of that to say, who should get appropriate praise and appropriate acknowledgement? And also then they have the follow-up skill set to deliver that praise appropriately, wisely, and it's beneficial to all. But you're right. That's a tipping point between good leaders and bad leaders, their ability to appropriately present or give praise. Absolutely
so,
right, Judy.
So, Dr. Self, in the last remaining couple of minutes, I want you to give tips to people that might be listening to the show and say, "Whoa, I may not be a very good leader." What would you say to them?
Well, you got to be a voracious reader. You've got to read the right stuff. This book is one of those books that you need to read. But there are other books. But if they are Christian people and they aspire to better leadership, read the Word of God from a leadership management standpoint. Now, we read it devotionally, And it speaks to our hearts. But when you say, what's the leadership principle that Jesus is trying to manifest here? What is he really trying to say? And how receptive are his listeners to this? So that's one of the ways. Timothy, reading the right things and reading the Word of God in other helpful Christian-oriented materials from a sheer leadership standpoint to say, what are these authors trying to say that will make a difference in my life? Now, we can read tons of stuff and go to seminars and attend church and never have it make a big difference in our lives. That's disappropriate, and that's a time waster.
So what about to those of us who have had bad leadership in part of our working lives? What do you say to us? What tips do you give us?
Well, I basically say that there is no fear, meaning failure or experience or anxiety or roadblock placed in my way by a bad leader that I cannot overcome. And that's called the good lessons affirmation. And once, and it's not, I will do this at some time, but I am doing that right now. I am currently overcoming the failures, experience, anxieties, and roadblocks that other people have put in my way. And it's a determination to do and be a better boss or a better leader than the people that have treated me negatively. It's just the determination, a willfulness to say, I'm not going to be like the bad leader. I'm just not going to do it. And the book gives you the skill set and the understanding to move beyond the consciousness you have about, or lack of consciousness you have about your own leadership style and ability to say, listen, there's nothing I can't do with this perspective and with the Word of God and with the worldview that says, I want to be an extraordinary leader because God wants me to be an extraordinary person.
Whether it's in your home, whether it's in your business, you are a leader. Good success, learning good lessons from bad leaders, can be the right book for you or the right book for you to give to a friend. Arthur Self is the author of this book. Dr. Self, how can people get the book?
They can buy it online at Amazon.com. They can do the same thing at independent bookstores. They can go to Barnes & Noble online or Barnes & Noble bookstore, and it will be on the shelf. Or if it's not on the shelf, you can request that the bookstore buy it for you, and they'll ship it to you. But a lot of the books are being bought through Amazon.com these days, as other books are.
That's Amazon.com. Dr. Self, thank you for being my guest today, talking about this book, Your Invaluable Lessons That You've Learned in Leadership, to share with us, whether we have a good leader or a bad leader. Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. This has been Encounter. If you missed this show, you can always go to my website, judyredlich.com, to listen to again, or the Bot Radio Network St. Louis Facebook page. Thanks again for joining me. See you next time on Encounter.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.